Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Something in the woods was calling my name. Part 1. I'd moved to lovely Brookertown, New Hampshire. It's about an hour from everywhere. As I followed the U-Hauls to my new lair, I noticed how desolate and alone the highway felt. Was I even on the highway anymore? I had not seen a car besides the truck in at least the last 20 minutes. I was zipping by giant foliage, trees as green as the Jolly Green's pecker. Occasionally, there would be a dirt road, or a rundown driveway sprinkled into it, but mostly, I was surrounded by a massive forest. If I didn't sound thrilled about this move, it's because I wasn't. My brother had recently passed away, and I was now the only one able to take care of our ailing grandfather. Grandpappy had lived and conquered all his life, up until his eyesight started to fail. We decided to relocate him to a nursing home before he accidentally ran a kid over. He flat out refused, and somehow managed to relocate himself to this middle-of-nowhere hillbilly town. My brother lived an hour away at the time and decided to move in with the old fart to keep an eye on him. This was 5 years ago. I had not heard from him since. We were never really that close, so it's no real surprise, but when I finally got word of him that he was dead, I admit my heart sank. So many things I should have said, but didn't. I was also surprised to learn that my now 92-year-old grandfather was alive and kicking. He had requested that after the funeral, that I come down and spend some quality time with him. I knew what this really entailed. I had read my brother's will after all. So I quit my job and moved to fantastic Brookertown. God, what an awful name. Eventually, I limped into sight of my grandfather's cabin. It looked like something out of R.L. Stine. It was at least 3 stories. A chipped red paint stained the exterior of the house. The front porch was rotten, barely held up by 3. Count 'em. 3 cinder block support beams. There was even an old-fashioned weather vane on top of the roof. The perfect little lighting rod in the shape of a rooster. I was in awestruck at the sight of this fire trap. My brother lived here for 5 years. Richie was always the sort of man to live well above his means, and he settled for this crap shack? Pappy Roberts must have brainwashed him. That must be it, I thought to myself. I parked just behind the U-Hauls and exited my car, wad of 20s in my hand. The moving guys had already begun to move boxes out and into the house. I could hear yelling with a suspicious southern drawl coming from in the house. The voice was threatening to blast the intruders with his bazooka. At the time, my grandfather's impossibly Cajun accent was the strangest thing about him. I had no idea why he put it on. He had lived in the North all his life. We were Italian, for God's sake. In any case, the movers were ignoring the incredulous bastard. Probably dealt with things like that all the time. I saw the driver smoking a cig up near the truck and rushed over to shake his hand and thank him in his guise. He took the money and, with a little smirk in his eyes, said, "Your grandpappy don't really have a bazooka, does he?" He said with a mock accent more fake than my grandfather's. "Not since the FDA raided the place," I remarked. This got a laugh out of the guy as he whistled to his men to run on out of there. They had really worked fast. As the dust started clearing as they sped away from this condemned miss, I hear the tap-tap-tap of my grandfather's cane on the porch. I turned around and saw him. As a kid, I always thought Pappy was 15 feet tall and had a beard black as coal and smelled like it as well. The man in front of me now completely assassinated my childhood idol. He was hunched over, barely supporting himself on his cane. His beard was patchy, unkept. His hair snow white and his head covered in liver spots. He wore the same eyeglasses he had when I was a kid. Those dorky-looking turtle ones. He was probably blind as three bats, yet I could feel his cataract blues boring into my soul.
"Oi, I know I told you to call before coming up here. I'm an old man. Those men breaking in here like that, I could have keeled over. I could have."
Pappy Roberts roared at me. I sighed internally and walked up the dirt path to the house to greet him. I couldn't help but notice how decayed and full of crabgrass the front yard was. "I did call, Pappy. You said you didn't care, and you would probably be dead by the time I got here." I eyed him up and down. "Did you die, Pappy?" I immediately regretted that snark as I felt the lightning-fast whap of Pappy's cane against my shin. Oh, how I missed that.
"Now don't you be getting smart with me, boy. You get smart with me again and you can sleep out here with the Wendy's,"
he remarked, turning his back to me and hobbling back inside. I noticed that he was wearing lumberjack overalls and the classic red and black patterned shirt to go with it. I followed him inside and expected to see the place a hoarder's wet dream. Imagine, to my genuine shock, that the place looked pristine. The floor was a beautiful hardwood, gleaming in the morning light. There was an 80-inch plasma TV in the living room playing football on a surround sound speakers. From the front door, I could see the dining room. It looked like Martha Stewart's Garden of Eden. The kitchen. Oh, Madone, the kitchen was heavenly. He actually had cured meat hanging from the rafters and a beautiful oven that could fit an elephant inside. Pappy noticed my slack-jawed expression and smiled in spite of myself.
"You really expect your old Pappy to live like a crazed coon out here, Tyler? I have 18 different streaming services, boy."
Pappy beamed proudly. "Why not just get cable at that point, Pappy?" I asked genuinely. He scoffed at that and waved his cane in the air. Pappy's cane. It was a 3.5-foot-long oak beauty. The handle was made of pure silver, carved into the shape of a snarling wolf Pappy had killed when he was a burly young man. Or so he claimed. I remember when we were kids, when he'd come to visit us for Christmas. He'd gather us up around the fire and tell stories. The kind you don't usually tell to 8-year-old kids. He'd weave tales of hairy beasts and horned creatures wailing in the woods. He would always warn us to stay away from the woods at night.
Or the Windies would claim our voice.
He would always go on about the Windies. Tall, elk-like creatures that walked like a man yet hungered like a lion. Scared the bejesus out of me when I was young. Now, I know, of course, that Pappy would like to have his fun with us. I'd probably scare my grandkids like that as well. Be a hoot. But I digress. That first night with Pappy was uneventful, save for the complaining that I had overcooked dinner. My room, it turned out, was at least twice the size of my studio apartment and had a router right at the nightstand. It also had a king-sized memory foam mattress. I slept like a baby that night. Or I did anyways, until I realized that my brother had slept in the same room for 5 years. Suddenly, I felt ill. I sat up in bed and started to gaze out the window. Pappy's backyard was massive, enough room for a small kickball stadium. There was a clear divide between the yard and the woods, the trees just barely encroaching on the neatly cut grass. Why my grandfather tended the backyard so dearly and not the front is beyond me. I began to stare into the trees, those lumbering husks of wood, hoping to fall asleep once more. I tried to listen to the sounds of crickets and late-night cicadas until I realized there were none. That struck me as odd, and then I realized there were zero sounds around. No birds, no wind, not even a passing car in the distance. The woods were like an audio dead zone. Shivering a little at the thought, I turned over in my bed and forced myself to sleep. Like I said, the first night was uneventful. Next morning, I drove an hour and a half to find the nearest grocery store and stacked up on about 300 pounds of food. I'm talking about fruit, dried fruit, canned beans, the good sliced cheese, and some good powdered peanut butter. Pappy was less enthused by my dining choices.
"What is this trash you fill your body with, boy? You should be out hunting." "A real man hunts his dinner and hunts his dessert,"
he said with a crooked grin. I ignored his oddly perverse comment at the end there and kept stacking the cabinets with the food I'd bought.
"Old guy like you, Pap, still going hunting?" I said absent-mindedly.
"Let me cook you some dinner tonight. I got the good peppers, the good steak." I waved it in his face like he was a bratty child.
"Course I go hunting. Once a week. Your brother Jackie went with me."
Pappy beamed. There was a glint in his eye, dare I say pride.
"My brother went hunting with you? Pappy, he was a stockbroker. Before he became warden up here anyways."
I mumbled that last part under my breath.
"It took some time, I'll admit it. But boy, your brother was one of the best hunters I had ever seen. His passing hurt. Hurt me in a way I hadn't been since your mother."
There was a sadness now, and I could sympathize. To be 92 years old and outlive your daughter by 20 years has to sting you.
"Been a long time since Mom, Pappy. You didn't come around much after,"
I said, facing him now. I leaned against the pristine marble counter for support. I expected him to avert his eyes in shame, but the old bastard stood his ground.
"It was that dumb husband of hers. He was always no good, thought he knew better. Forbid me from seeing y'all,"
he explained admittedly. My scowl still remained,
but I had to grant him that Dad did hate Pappy's guts. While it wouldn't have surprised me if Dad really had tried to stop him from seeing us, I couldn't comprehend the grandfather I remembered standing back and taking it. Well, past is past, Pappy. Now, what do you want for dinner? Dinner was quiet that night. Pappy didn't even complain about the burnt steak. Then we sat in front of the TV and watched Monster Quest. I went up around 10 p.m. Pappy was still sitting there, almost like he was lost in deep trance. I collapsed onto my bed, exhausted. I drifted off almost immediately, and I wished to God I had stayed asleep. I smelled it before I heard it. It was a rancid smell, like ancient sulfur mixed with decaying flesh. It was wafting in the air from my open window. I sprung up like a leaf and...
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Looked around. It was pitch black in my room, only a faint light from the moon outside. But that smell, God, it stung my eyes. Felt like I was cutting up a sentient onion. I rubbed them awake and stumbled out of bed. When I got up, I heard it then.
Tyler!
A voice out of the darkness croaked.
Tyler!
I perked up immediately. It couldn't be right. Richie? I whispered back. My heart clenched up in dreaded excitement. I rushed downstairs half naked and sprinted to the back door. The door was a sliding glass, motion lights turning on from the outside as I approached. The light was dim. I could just barely see the yard. Giant shadows danced in the darkness, and it took me a second to realize I was staring at the damn trees again. After a moment of looking at the dead silence, I thought I had simply imagined Richie's voice.
Tyler, come out and see me, brother.
It was his voice again from the forest. It was almost a gurgle, like he was choking out the words, but it was him, damn it. I reached for the sliding door but hesitated. I saw him. I saw him in the casket, his face all...
Tyler, help me. Help me, Tyler.
The voice groaned from the tree line again. I snapped back into insanity and tore the door open. I was about to run across the yard when I felt a warm but stern hand on my shoulder. It broke me out of my stupor, and I saw Pappy standing there, a somber yet angry look on his face. I was about to ask him if he had heard Richie in the forest, but he pointed a bony finger to his lips, shushing me. Then he pointed to the trees. It took me a moment for my eyes to adjust. Or maybe I didn't want to believe what I was seeing. At first, all I saw was those giant oaks. Then I looked between them. It must have stood at 9 feet tall at least. It was lean and slender, emitting a god-awful stench. I could barely make out its head. God help me, its head was the shape of a deer, but larger, almost skull-like. It had massive antlers protruding out of its head. I could hear something else then. A warbling sound of some kind. Like a deer, but corrupted, mixed with some kind of reptile. It must have seen me looking at it, and when it discovered that I would venture no further, it let out a horrific shriek, like nails scraping the inside of a car muffler. Just as soon as I had seen it, it crept back into the woods. More sounds followed it. I could make out three or four distinct sounds like the creature I had seen. I had just stood there. It was all I could do not to collapse out of sheer fear. I turned to Pappy, who simply nodded, like he had been expecting them. I stuttered to find the right words to ask him what had just happened, and that old bastard, all he did was smile a toothless grin and say,
"Wendy's, boy. There's been Wendy's in these woods."
I don't remember going back to bed, but I must have. I awoke in a cold sweat, curled in a fetal position. My comforter scrunched around me like a protective cocoon. It must have been a dream, right? That horrific giant? I struggled to get out of bed, my head suddenly pounding. I stumbled down the stairs like a drunken sailor. The aroma of fresh bacon filled the air, and in my daze, I saw Pappy flipping that crispy goodness in the air. He was dressed for the day in fine clothing, standing upright even. He seemed enchanted in his cooking, barely acknowledging me at first. He must have noticed me out of the corner of his eye because he paused, a grin forming on his face.
"Morning, boy. Eat up and get dressed. We have work to do," he said proudly.
I blinked at him like a broken wind-up doll. The bacon and eggs he cooked were divine, to say the least. Put my rubbery steak to shame. Pappy ate with gusto, not a care in the world. Meanwhile, I sat stunned and confused beyond belief. I swallowed the last of my eggs in pride and cleared my throat to ask a burning question.
"Pappy, did you also see it last night?"
Pappy nodded.
"Weren't no dream, boy. I told you there'd be Wendy's out here."
He stated this so casually. "All those stories you told us as kids, they were real?" I was flabbergasted.
"You think me a liar, boy? I ain't told a lie in my whole life. The Grim Reaper would keel over dead before I got caught lying,"
Pappy proclaimed. He paused, eyeing me.
"It's not about believing me. It's about believing yourself. Come on now, follow me to the basement,"
he beckoned me, getting up from his seat with a speed one would not expect from an ancient man. I noticed the basement door was already slightly ajar. I blinked, and Pappy was already skipping down the steps. I followed this beckoning enigma of a man down the basement steps. The steps were shag carpet, a relic of a bygone era if I ever saw one. I peeked my head out from around the corner and saw two leather chairs against a metal stove. I could feel the heat radiating from it from where I was standing. Above it, hung on the mantle with pride, were several stuffed heads. There were elk, of course, dead-eye bucks staring out with glassy stares. There were a few fish of various sizes, a rather large black wolf head with beady yellow eyes and... what the hell was that? There were three elk heads mounted in the center, at least I thought they were at first. Their faces were skinless, raw bone covering their heads like armor plating. They had massive antlers, almost cartoonish in length. They curled and coiled around each other like rutting snakes.
Each jagged edge could probably maul me 1,000-fold. Their eyes were hollow. I could tell they were there, though, buried deep in that skull. Their maws were open, revealing rows upon rows of jagged teeth and long feral fangs. I noticed Pappy had plopped himself down on the largest chair and began reclining into it. His eyes darted to the seat across from him, and I limped over to it, more confused than ever. I noticed there were framed photos of Pappy and his hunting buddies. These frayed looks into the past barely caught my eye at first, until I noticed the one to my left. In it, Pappy was holding a rifle, a shit-eating grin on his face. He was standing defiantly on a body of a hulking beast. Its fur was mangy and spotted, and it had antlers not unlike the ones hanging from the walls.
"That was a good hunt."
Pappy poked his finger towards the photo.
"Me, Georgie Walker, and Rodney O'Hara took that photo in the Washington State National Park in 75.
Pappy beamed.
"Was Georgie's first hunt of any kind, really. Took a while for me and Rod to show him the ropes, but we taught him well."
I mulled over what Pappy was conveying to me here, and then it hit me like a sack of bricks. "Pappy, are you some kind of monster?" I started before I felt the sharp pain of Pappy's cane stabbing me in the knee.
"Now don't be putting ridiculous labels on anything, boy. I'm a hunter, always have been. Sometimes the shit I hunted was bigger than a bear and meaner than 7 rabid wolves."
Pappy scowled. "How does that happen? Whatever you want to call it, it sounds like you were looking for these things," I inquired. Pappy was silent for the first time, a dark expression dwelling on his face.
"Suppose it started when I was around 15. My pa took me hunting. Didn't have a whole lot of fancy gear like they do nowadays. Hide a buck season and didn't see one all day. Darndest thing,"
he began.
"It was dark when we headed back. I had insisted that we stay till we killed something. My daddy did like to indulge me."
Pappy became misty-eyed at the thought of his dad.
"I was the first to hear it, that eerie moan echoing in the dark of the woods. It sounded like a dying wail." "I was excited. I practically ran to get my head chopped off, but my pa stopped me. He held me back and he listened. The wail continued and stopped just as suddenly as it had started. Then we heard a voice."
Pappy was lost in thought. His eyes bore past me as he reminisced.
"Help me. Help, I've been shot."
A shaky voice had croaked out.
"My father ordered me back to the truck, and before I could protest, he smacked me across the head and shouted at me once more. Well, I didn't say no to my pa twice, so I sulked back. It was a quick walk, maybe about 5 minutes. We both could have made it, I think."
Pappy pondered aloud, his gaze drifting away, a pained expression in his eyes. I leaned in and gently shook his leg. He snapped back and swatted my hand away, grumbling that he was fine.
"Damn, boy, can't you let your pappy remember in peace, can ya?"
he droned on.
"I waited by our old jalopy for what felt like an eternity. Then a shot rang. Nearly shot myself, it was so sudden. After that, it was dead quiet again. I called out to my pa. Nothing. I started towards the woods once more, my gun cocked when I heard it.
Robert, come here. I need your help.
My father's voice was shaky and monotonous. It sounded like a broken record. I stood there frozen as the bushes in front of me started to move. I could smell something rancid, like it had crawled through the septic tanks of hell itself. Once more, it called out to me.
Robert, come here, right now. Listen to your father.
The voice ordered. I could hear malice in its tone now. I raised my gun and told it to stay back. I heard a low grunt, almost like it was mocking me. I was leaning in now, stupefied by Pappy's tale. He was like a young man again, his demeanor wrapped up in passing on this story. As grim as it was, he was almost giddy to tell it.
Did you shoot it, Pappy? Get it in one blow?
I asked like a dumb kid would. Pappy bellowed with laughter at this. I started blasting at the woods.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Fired about 9 rounds into the brush. Should be dead by all accounts, boy. Pure luck I ended up hitting the thing, Pappy said sheepishly. I heard a cry like a dying orca, and it slumped forward, dead on the ground. I'd hit it dead center in its throat. Thick black fluid pooled at my feet. It was still twitching as I inched towards it. It had a deer skull-like head, antlers jutting out of it at least my height. Its skin was leathery and worn. Patches of matted fur spotted it like it had mange. The skull plate reminded me of a fox, sort of square at the top with a narrow maw. The thing's jaw sported rows of thin teeth covered in dried blood. It turned its fox's face to me, and I could feel whatever eyes it had burn into my soul. I raised my rifle and aimed at this creature's unholy head. It spoke up once more.
Attaboy, son.
My father's voice purred to me right before I blasted the Windy back to hell.
Pappy let those words hang in the air, an eerie omen smacking me in the face. Pappy looked down, a mournful look crossed over his face.
Found my dad deeper in the woods. I won't churn your stomach with the details, but I could barely recognize him. I went for help, taking my daddy's cap with me back to civilization. My ma was besides herself, of course. Took 5 men to get that dead thing into the truck when I came back. We took it back to my parents' farm and burned it. Not before I took something from it. He patted his cane affectionately.
For the first time in my life, I really studied the thing. It wasn't jagged or anything, but looking at it now, I could see there were nubs where it had been whittled away. I could see how it was shaved down and painted with a fine wood coating that had faded with time.
The handle came later, a gift from a friend, but it made a fine walking stick during hikes.
Pappy beamed.
I could have left it at that. It killed my daddy and I killed it. But you know what really irks me about the Windy boy?
Pappy asked me. I stared at him blankly.
They took his voice, Tyler. His voice. What came out of that thing's mouth was a mockery. My daddy's voice was gruff. It was bombastic, even. When he spoke, you knew he meant business. That thing took a piece of his soul, and I will never fucking forgive them that.
Pappy spurted at me, the flame of fury burning in his eyes. I nodded my head, taken back by his outburst. I leaned back into my chair as Pappy collected himself.
All in all, I think I've killed about 24 Wendy's since then. Never went looking for them outright. Suppose I just knew where they liked to lurk and got lucky. Made some friends over the years who were like-minded, but frankly, I always thought they were a bit nutty about it. I parted ways with them, kept in touch with one or two of the fellas, and hunted with them once in a while. Could tell you stories, boy. But this ain't the time for running my mouth any longer. Tomorrow night, we go after it. Today, I teach you to shoot.
Why would we go after it? I retorted, stunned by his demands.
They just don't go away, boy. They linger and tear away at you, just waiting for your guard to drop.
Pappy exclaimed. I was about to protest once more when I finally put it together. A wave of guilt and fear washed over me as I looked Pappy dead in the eye. Why did it have his voice? I demanded, my tone quiet as a church mouse.
You know the answer to that already, boy.
Pappy replied solemnly, his stony face vacant of parrying my feelings. I mulled his words over and sprung to my feet, leaping over to choke Pappy to death. I was screaming profanity at him when he calmly jabbed the cane into my chest, causing me to fall back to my seat. I coughed up a lung as I tried to repair my crushed chest, and Pappy just looked on. Bitter tears swelled up on my face, but I refused to let him see them.
I didn't want him to hunt them. Your brother hunted game with me, and he was damn good at it. Then they came 4 months ago. They chortled at us at night, egging us on. Richard didn't believe my stories, and I tried, Tyler, I tried to stop him from going out there.
Pappy croaked out. His voice was burdened with suffering.
He lied and said he wouldn't. I found him in the yard the next morning. He had snuck out. His voice called out to me that evening.
Pappy took a deep sigh, like he had unburdened himself enough for the day.
You could hate me all you want, boy. Fact don't change, that thing is still out there making a mockery of his voice. I can't do it alone, Tyler.
Pappy pleaded me begrudgingly. I just stared at him, struggling to find the words. Finally, I found them.
Fine. We go get this thing and that's that. I don't want to ever see you again.
Pappy simply nodded.
Part 2.
The rest of the day was uneventful. Pappy set up some cans and bottles in the backyard for some makeshift target practice. I was half tempted to blow him away, but honestly, I would have missed. It had been years since I had held a gun. Pappy and my mom took me and Richard once or twice when we were really young. She would make us wear earmuffs and stand about 10 feet away while she and Pappy searched a clearing for a decent spot. When she wasn't looking, Pappy snuck us a sip of his lukewarm beer and taught us how to hold a rifle. I remember it weighing like 7 tons and I could barely get my stance together. Pappy didn't get mad at me for that, though. He just smiled and slapped me on the back, saying I would get there someday. Today, it was still heavy,
but I shifted and postured my shoulders just right as I aimed down the barrel at the bottle of rolling rock about 8 yards away from me. Pappy was to the side of me, no ear protection whatsoever. I held my breath as I steadied my aim and fired. I dropped the gun, the kick almost knocking me over. The bullet whizzed through the air and chipped the top of the bottle. It wobbled slightly, but it remained intact. My face flushed red, and I waited for Pappy to berate me. Instead, he calmly picked up the rifle and offered a croaking grin. He shoved the gun back into my hands and slapped me on the back and simply stated,
"You'll get there."
It took a few hours, but it was like riding a bike. All those childhood tips on how to wield a gun came flooding back, and soon I kept hitting mark after mark. The grass was littered with broken glass, and Pappy gleamed with pride. He said my reload time needed work, but I could stay on target like a son of a bitch. His words. I tried to subside my anger and bond with the old man. Part of me really did want that. But then I kept thinking of Richard. The way his face barely held together as he laid in that coffin. The mortician had clearly done the best he could, but those staples barely held together. The story I had been given was boating accident. Frankly, it did not sit right with me then either. Pappy had tried to stop him. I did believe that. But it was him who had filled his head with stories. It was him who had taught Richard to hunt to begin with. Like he was teaching me now. So I shoved the rifle back to him and went towards the house and grumbled something about dinner. We ordered takeout that night. It took about an hour and a half to get there, and was freezing cold by the time it got there. But pizza is pizza, so me and Pappy sat there and ate our slices as best we could. It was like chewing through cardboard at times, but frankly, it wasn't bad. Pappy mentioned that tomorrow we will be passing a stream, and it's a short little stroll into the forest. He said once we passed it, we would be officially into windy territory. I nodded my head and went back to eating. Looking back, I was being childish and should have just spoken to him like a man. I regret that. And at the time, I almost swallowed my pride and spoke up when I heard a loud thump coming from the roof. It sounded like something had not so gracefully climbed up there. A warble sound rang out following it. Now me and Pappy were both staring at the ceiling, waiting for further disruption. My brother's voice called out from the yard. Pappy reached under the table, a sawed-off materializing from under it. The voice called out again.
"Tyler, give him to us. We just want him,"
my brother crooned. A dark shape took form in the middle of the yard. I could barely see it through the sliding glass. Its antlers massive. It was hunched over on all fours. I could make out two glaring red lights I assumed were its eyes. They bore into me like a drill. The Wendy spoke again, repeating its demand. I stood up from the table, fire rising in my chest.
"Don't,"
Pappy commented with a whisper. I looked to him, and he pointed the gun upwards. My eyes flickered to the ceiling, and I heard scuttling from above. Pappy studied the unseen thing's movements and aimed his sawed off true. When the scuttling stopped, he blasted at the ceiling. I winced at the sound and heard a creature cry out in pain. It quickly scurried off the roof and I saw a massive beast crash into the ground and leap away into the darkness. The hunched over Wendy made a low growling sound, and it looked like it was about to pounce right into the house. My heart skipped 1,000 beats a minute as Pap pointed his gun at the glass.
"The Pack Hunters!"
The Wendy called out ominously as it suddenly retreated into the darkness. Those burning crimson eyes, the last bit of the thing to sink into the night. Pappy was unbothered by all this and quietly sat back into the dining room seat and dug back into his meal. I silently joined him, a million questions rushing through my brain. Pappy must have been a mind reader because he spoke up without looking away from his frozen slop.
"These things don't usually hunt in packs. Solitary critters mostly. It's me they want, boy. I sinned against them one too many times, and they want to reap my soul before Father Time can," he calmly explained.
"They won't go away, even if we killed the one with Richard's voice, will they?" I squeaked.
"Probably not. Might back off, but they'll keep coming. They'll find a way in," he retorted.
And that was the end of all dinner conversation. I couldn't sleep that night. Just kept glancing at the woods, my rifle at my side. The house stank of rancid, of filth, and I realized I had not heard any animals for over 2 days. The thought of just abandoning my grandfather in the morning.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Did occur to me, but despite it all, I couldn't do that to him. I owed Richard that much. I stood at the edge of the yard, right when the wild woods crept onto our land. Tall, lumbering giants stood in front of me. Trees older than the country itself. Pappy was in the house behind me, getting our tools ready. The sky was a lazy orange, the night creeping over us. Pappy said the cover of darkness was actually our ally. The Wendies, as I myself had begun to call them, couldn't see all that good. Or so Pappy claimed. He had already sprayed me with what he called musk, a putrid substance if I had ever smelt one. If I had to guess, it was wolf piss mixed with about 70 other types of animal urine. I could hear his labored breath behind me and the tap of his cane on the ground. It was odd. This past week had still seemed so strange. Now, though, on the eve of our first hunt, he seemed so frail, so nervous, so old. I turned and saw he had trimmed his mile-long white beard into a clean jawline. I noticed his attire and spoke up. "Pappy, why the vest?" I motioned to the bright attire he had on.
"Only thing more dangerous than a Wendy is a drunken hunter at night, boy,"
he loudly exclaimed. I simply nodded my head and turned once more to face the wild. Was I ready for this? To face the creature I saw that night? The thing that spoke with Tommy's voice. I felt a sturdy hand grasp my shoulder.
"I appreciate you coming out here with me, boy. I know you still harbor ill towards me, but, well, Richie would have liked you doing this."
I remained silent at his praise, a rare occurrence with Pappy.
He hobbled past me and effortlessly strolled into the woods. I blinked, and suddenly, he had been swallowed whole by it. A voice rang out.
"Come on then, boy,"
it called out to me. I hesitated for only a moment. What if it was one of them, the Windies? I brushed that off quick, however. I took a big breath, like I was about to dive into a 50-meter pool, and stepped into the woods. It was hard to see, though I suppose that is obvious. I was surprised at how much ground we covered, however. After what seemed like 5 minutes, we were already way past the small stream Pappy had shown me yesterday. In my hands, I held a rifle. It felt heavy in my hands. I remember going hunting with Pappy and Mom only once as a child. I didn't know how to hold a gun, of course. I was only like 7 at the time. But I remembered that sound it made, that hideous boom, like the earth split open, and the Reaper itself had come from below to claim the soul of that nice buck Mom had shot. I remember its eyes. They were glassy, a nice hazel color, asking me why it had to die. This was personal, this hunt for the creature. It has to be killed. Yet, in the back of my mind, I could see that deer on the ground. I was lost in thought and almost took out Pappy in my tracks. He had come to a dead stop. I was about to ask what when he held up his hand. The air was silent, dead silent. I could feel my blood freeze. After a moment, it began. There was a low howl, mournful, I would say. It became louder, almost like a dying shriek, like an elk being garroted alive. As suddenly as it began, it stopped. The silence was followed by a couple of low clicking sounds, almost like a predator. That had been Richie's favorite movie. Could the Windies mimic their victims' thoughts as well as their voice? No, that's dumb. That was just nerves talking. I needed to tamper down on my emotions. Be a lion like Pappy. I couldn't believe how calm he was now, how determined he was. Was he just a psychopath or am I just a coward? I had no time to ponder these thoughts, of course, as that elk-like shriek returned. I could feel that cry run up and down my spine like an Olympic athlete. It was all I could do not to piss myself in absolute terror. God, what a coward I was. Yet, there was Pappy, cool as ice. He lifted his rifle and scanned the trees for movement. All I could see was darkened bush and pointed shrubs. God, why I had to come out here, I was gonna get us all killed, torn apart, and mimically mocked for eternity. Suddenly, Pappy stopped, frozen in motion. I turned my head and saw trees. Just trees. Oak trees. Whatever the hell they were, I was no botanist. I was an accountant. Damn, Pappy. I should have never come here. I should have let that old bastard rot. I should have. I snapped awake from my treacherous thoughts and saw Pappy's smoking gun. My eyes darted back to the tree line, and my heart sank. Edging out from behind a tree were at least 3-meter-long antlers, curved in heinous directions.
I could see the creature's eyes staring at us, red and beady, almost bioluminescent. There was a low hum, almost like a buzzing sound. Was it growling at us? My eyes adjusted to the darkness once more, and I saw the tree it was standing in front of more clearly. Pappy had missed. For a split second, I awaited my Pappy to try to get another shot off, but he just stood there. In a panic, I raised mine to fire at the Wendy. The creature leered at me through the tree line. I swear its mouth was watering. The gun went off in my hand, the recoil almost sending me flying. A horrendous mist appeared in the creature's shoulder as it let out a hurt warble. Had I hit it? I felt a loud slap on my back, straightening my coward spine.
"Atta boy, hit him again," Pappy crooned.
I aimed and fired again, better prepared for the recoil this time. The shot hit it square in the chest, and the Wendy snapped back and stood there, bent over frozen like some sort of bizarre cartoon. It quickly snapped back upright and looked me dead in the eyes as it began to convulse. It dropped down on all fours, looking like a four-legged spider with how long and fragile looking its limbs were. In an instant, it darted behind the trees, disappearing into the cover of darkness. I started to shorten my pants until Pappy spoke up.
"Wait patiently, boy. Let me hear it speak."
He calmly reloaded his gun, and I noticed it seemed to be some sort of single-shot rifle.
"Pappy, you missed. Why? How?"
"Best way to learn to swim is to be thrown into the deep end, face first," Pappy replied.
"Best way to? Are you fucking insane?"
I silently screamed at him. Pappy turned to me, a sly grin on his face. He winked at me and spoke.
"Like a fox."
At that, suddenly everything was a blur as something tackled me from the bushes. I slammed into the ground, practically shattering my shoulder. A rancid smell violated me as I was pinned down by the Wendy. It drooled on me, gooey spittle dribbling towards my gaping mouth. I probably should have closed it in hindsight. The deer-like skull face of it bored into me, like it was studying me. Its mouth crept open, and it spoke in that familiar tone.
"Brother, help me. You shot me. Why?"
The animal croaked at me. I could feel my face flush white with terror.
Richie,
I began. I failed to get another word out before black blood splattered across my face. There was a rather large gunshot in the Wendy's head. After a second, it slumped over next to me, what's left of its eyes staring at me. They were asking me why. I had never heard the gun go off, nor did I see Pappy offering his hand to help me up until he berated me.
"Get up, boy. Come on now, don't be going pansy on me now,"
he commanded. I took his hand, my heart desperately trying to escape my chest. Jokes on my heart. I was pretty sure I had about 12 broken ribs keeping it in place. I stumbled up, eyes glancing to the deceased creature next to me. It seemed smaller than it did before. It was not twitching. It was shriveled and defeated. I had to guess. It was probably about 4 meters tall altogether. The Wendy's fur was patchy, like it had smarge. It somehow smelled better dead. Not by much, but still.
"Good shot," I mumbled under my breath. Pappy snorted at this.
You softened him up, big boy.
He patted me on the back. A part of me was relieved. My brother's death avenged. Pappy seemed proud of me. So why did I still feel so uneasy? Pappy hobbled past me and kneeled beside the corpse. I couldn't help but notice there was still an absence of any sort of sound. I saw Pappy pull out a Bowie knife from his back pocket and began to whittle away at the creature's horns. I could make out faint glimpses of the knife, archaic symbols that spoke nonsense to me. It was like watching him carve wood. Strike that. It was like watching Michelangelo sculpt David. It was masterful watching Pappy work that knife. It just slid and chipped in all the right spots. It was the cleanest skinning I had ever watched. It was the only skinning I had ever watched, come to think of it. As I watched him work, I heard a familiar clicking sound. Then another. Before I knew it, there were about a dozen sounds like the Wendy had just been killed. Before I knew it, there was about a dozen sounds like the Wendy we had just killed. They had surrounded us. Pappy was whistling as he worked now. I recognized the tune. I swear to God, it was that dwarf song from Snow White. He must have sensed how horrified I felt, because he spoke up in a soft voice.
Keep your eyes on the trees. Don't show fear. Stare right back at them,
Pappy instructed. I could see shadows with eyes begin to peek around the corners. They clicked and chittered, an orchestra of mimicry. Some of them cried out for help in a mocking tone. Their eyes were an array of darkened colors shining in the dark. Violet, crimson, even emerald green shined through. Yet there was no life in them, only a ravenous hunger. Pappy picked up the pace of cutting through the dead Wendy's spine.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Best cut I had ever seen. He dug deep and tore it from the base of the body. A sickening crunch followed. He stood up on both feet and held the creature's bony head in one hand and a wad of its leathery skin in the other. I noticed the skin had a sort of covering on it, like an elk pelt stitched together. Some of the other Wendy's seemed to be wearing pelts of some kind, to blend in better, I would assume. I saw two wolf pelt ones and another deer, yet they all had the same twisted antlers giving away their deception. The creatures shrunk back at the sight of their fallen comrade. Pappy called out to them.
Leave my land, you damn heathens! Let it end here! Let me die in peace!
He pleaded with them. The Wendy's chittered and mimicked their victims, like they were discussing the matter amongst themselves. For a moment, it seemed like they would do just that. I could see those misshapen antlers start to head back into the dark. That was when a voice rang out. A woman's voice, slow and confident. It spoke with a stern tone, and it froze my heart to the core when I heard it, despite how many years it had been.
Your land is our land,
my mother called out.
We do not forgive, and we do not forget,
she growled in a sultry voice.
I could feel the venom radiating from that voice, and in a panic, I looked around for its source. I glanced up and saw a hulking Wendy curled up in the branches above. It had such majestic antlers and yellow eyes that shone like spotlights. I could just barely make out its face. It seemed to have a skull like a possum, and its body was covered in fur, wearing it almost like a cloak. I was taken back by this human-like behavior, and noticed the creature even had a thin tail curled up around the branch. Pappy stood frozen against the Alpha Wendy. He locked eyes with it, and for the first time all week, I saw a ting of fear in his eyes.
Sandy!
He muttered my mother's name under his breath. The creature atop the trees purred and slowly started to descend, a mocking tone in its voice.
She lives within me. Don't you want to see her again?
The creature extended a mangled claw towards Pappy, beckoning to come closer. Then Pappy did something I didn't expect. He turned tail and ran away. Finding myself alone with these things, I decided to follow my elder's lead. As I brushed past the trees and stumbled on loose ferns, I could hear the braying and cackling of a dozen Wendies pursuing us. Their vicious mockery stung me to the core as I could barely make out Pappy in front of me. Truth be told, I am amazed he even ran as fast as he did. I was barely keeping up with the old fart, my lungs clawing at my out-of-shape chest. Each breath I heaved was like a knife in my back. But it was worth it not to get torn apart by the Wendies. I could see the house. We were almost clear of the tree line when Pappy turned around. His eyes were raised, and he pulled out his rifle. I ducked as Pappy fired. Something wet hit my face as a beast cried out. The shriek of its death throes pierced my ears. I almost tripped as I skipped forward, avoiding the fallen Wendy. Pappy stood his ground at the tree line. He hurried past him and shot off three more rounds, a wail accompanying the third. As I reached the sliding door, I turned to see Pappy hobble towards me. Behind him were at least a dozen Wendies. The largest was the possum-faced Alpha. It stood tall out in the open, at least 5 meters high. I hurried Pappy inside and shut the weak glass behind me as the Alpha roared in defiance. It shook the house. I could feel the ground vibrating beneath my feet. Pappy had overturned the dining room table and crawled behind it. I could hear his rapid fire breathing. I shot across the room to join him. I saw him clutching his gun like a baby would a rattle. I slid next to him, and he flinched at my presence. My mother, or so I was told, had died in a skiing accident. The Alpha had my mom's voice, and I knew what that meant. But I needed to hear it from him. "How did it happen?" I asked plainly. It took a moment for Pappy to calm himself. He couldn't look me in the eyes, but he explained.
"The ski trip. It came in the night and took her. Your father blamed me, of course. Said it was meant to be me. Maybe he was right. Christ, it is all my fault, boy. I failed her. I failed you. I failed your brother. Christ, Tyler."
Tears were streaming down my once proud Pappy's face.
"It's all my fault, boy. I'm so sorry. See if you can sneak out the front. Get to your truck, boy. It's me they want."
He begged me. I could hear scraping at the windows and rustling on the roof. The creatures groaned and skittered around the property, testing ways to get inside. I'm ashamed to admit I did think about leaving Pappy there, but I couldn't do it. Despite his misadventures, he had only wanted what was best for all of us. I put an arm around his ancient shoulder and grinned. We're in this together now, old man. Now come on, we might need more firepower, I suggested to him. It was a crapshoot, but I figured my grandpa must have something up his sleeves. I could see a spark of something behind his eyes, and he nodded his head. He sprung up and led me down to the basement. The howls of the damned creatures seemed to echo louder down there. Pappy hurried over to a locked shelf and butted the lock off with his rifle. He struck it twice, and I heard it clang to his feet. He swung open the shelf and revealed a rack of pump-action shotguns. The lowest shelf held boxes of ammo. The doors held a set of 3 silver axes and a set of silver swords. Pappy grabbed one of the guns and a box of ammo, turning to me.
Dragon's breath,
he uttered simply. I nodded and took my own. As we loaded the weapons, we heard a series of crashing and banging on the walls upstairs. Pappy eyed me carefully.
Now be careful with these now. It packs a hell of a kick. Don't worry about what you're hitting. Just stand firm and hold it tight.
I nodded in agreement. The banging slowed down, and all we heard was the sound of loud skittering across the floor and low giggles. The smell of them clung to the air. Rotten sulfur stung my nostrils. I just held my head high and my gun higher. Pappy crept towards the stairs and peeked around the corner. Immediately, he swung forward and blasted up the stairs, the smell of burning flesh flaring up. I could see chunks of skull and blood fly past Pappy as he stood his ground. I went behind him and saw another Wendy trying to claw its way past its dead friend. I raised my shotgun and fired, taken back a little, but my aim holding true. The Wendy's wolf-like skull was vaporized in an instant, and it fell to the floor. Howls and cries filled the house as we heard a mountain of terror heading towards us. Me and Pappy stood side by side, pockets full of napalm as we slowly made ground up the stairs. 3 more creatures tried and failed to make their way down them. We used their bodies as stepping stones as we made our way up. Climbing over a rabbit-skulled one, Pappy almost got his head taken off by one hiding behind the corner. He ducked, and I blasted it in the arm, which went flying in the air as the wounded Wendy scurried after it. We reached the dining room and surveyed the damage. Glass and what was left of the sliding door laid around the hardwood floor. The lights near the kitchen sink flickered as a massive hole in the bay window jutted inwards. Near the living room, I could make out a hole in the plaster. I could see something lurking in there, could hear it as well. We raised our guns and instinctively went back to back, slowly looking around the room. We saw antlers rise above the overturned table and fired. I hit the thing in its back, causing it to wail in pain. I pumped once more and fired a hole clear through its chest as it rose to face me. It flew back, hitting the wall with a wet crunch. This went on as we made our way through the downstairs. As one of us reloaded, we covered the other. They came at us like rabid wolves, and we put them down as such. It was like something out of an action movie. Body after horrid body dropped, the Wendy's numbers thinning.
The floor was soon covered in black blood as their bodies lay twitching in a smoke-filled haze. Some were still burning, the fire dancing around their fallen bodies like it was Mardi Gras. One had taken a decent swipe at me, blood tearing at my shirt. Another had leapt at Pappy and had taken a small bite at his shoulder. He had barely even grunted in pain as he jabbed the thing and shoved the barrel of the shotgun down the Wendy's throat. I could hear the thing gurgle out a cry as Pappy pulled the trigger and disintegrated the monster's insides. As the smoke began to clear, me and Pappy held our breaths, our guns shaking in our hands. There was silence now, but the smell still lingered. I heard a creak above us, and before I could glance up, the ceiling collapsed, the Alpha Wendy crashing down on top of us. I got the brunt of it, the thing's canine-like feet digging into my back. Pappy collapsed onto the ground and looked back as the Alpha swatted his shotgun away with its tail.
"Naughty boys,"
it mused in Mom's voice.
"All you had to do was give up,"
it barked. It picked up Pappy, bringing it closer to its hunched-over figure. It could barely fit in the kitchen, it was so big. I could taste its rotted fur in my mouth as I struggled to get out from under it.
You aren't her,"
Pappy cried out in protest. The Alpha chuckled.
"I looked for you for so long. I found her there in the lodge that night, fast asleep. Her death was quick. Yours will not."
The creature flung Pappy down the basement steps. I heard him cry out as he hit every one. He landed with a thud, and at the bottom, I could see him start to crawl away further down. The Alpha raised its foot and bore it down on me, slamming my spine. A shot rang out through my body, almost causing me to pass out.
"Stay put, little one. Mommy has some work to do,"
it sang out. It slowly crept down the stairs as it abandoned me. I struggled to get up, my gun nowhere to be found. I could hear Pappy cursing at the thing as it made its way down, its bulky body crushing the walls as it forced its way down the steps. I pounded the ground with my fist, determined to get up. Pain shot throughout my body as I forced myself up, my lower back radiating with anger. As I got to my knees, my eyes darted towards the door, and I saw the Alpha slumped over into the den. With all my energy, I got up.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
In a rush and hurried down the steps, barely keeping myself up. Halfway down, I could see the thing digging its claws into Pappy's chest. Its head was over his. It was opening its mouth in a rancid hiss. Pappy spit at the thing and told it to kill him already. It was so focused on him, it didn't see me. My eyes went to the shelf, its doors swinging open. I didn't think. I just ran up and grabbed an axe. The Alpha leered over Pappy, its eyes locked into his. It made a sort of hissing sound as it opened its jaw, like it was sucking the very soul from his body. Pappy could barely struggle under the weight of the beast, and I could hear his grunting and protest start to wither and fade. Axe in hand, I gripped the wooden handle, and with all my might and raised it above the monster's head. Its eyes darted to the side as it finally noticed me, still sucking the life out of Pappy.
I brought down the axe with a strong thrust and drove the silver deep into the Wendy's neck. It screeched, my ears ringing out as they deafened. I struggled to tear the axe from the nasty wound I had inflicted and tore it out with a grunt, blood splattering on my face. It felt warm and moist. The frenzied creature turned to me, and I brought the axe down once more, splitting its skull plate right down the middle. It collapsed onto the ground like a heap of dirty laundry, struggling to get up. Dark fluid leaked onto the shag carpet, staining it with sin and fury. Once more, I cleaved the axe into the skull of the thing. A sickening crunch rang out. Shrapnel of splintered bone and brain matter flew into the air. It held up a shaky arm to stop to try to save itself. It lifted what remained of its caved-in skull and tried to speak.
"Please, Tyler, don't do this,"
it pleaded with my mother's voice.
"I missed you so much. Please, my love, please."
It sputtered. But I tuned it out with a rhythmic sound of an axe carving up flesh, and eventually the pleading stopped. Before long, I noticed the axe had been lodged into the floor. I let go of the handle, my hands shaking, raw and bloody. Steam and viscera covered the area where the thing's head had been, the axe stuck in what was left like Excalibur. I heard Pappy wheezing just a few feet away, snapping me out of my stupor. I rushed over to him and collapsed, taking his frail body into my arms. His eyes were barely open, his breath sick and wet. I could feel how broken his body was in my arms. Tears stung my eyes as I gently shook him and spoke his name.
"Pappy, come on, old man, wake up. Just talk to me. Let me hear you talk,"
I said to him softly, dread creeping into my tone. His eyes barely opened, but I could feel him looking up at me. He weakly grasped my shoulder, and he pursed his lips.
"It didn't get my voice, boy,"
he hoarsely whispered. He coughed up a lung afterwards, and I could feel his already weak grip start to fade.
"You're a good boy, Tyler. I'm sorry I dragged you into this like I did Richie and your ma."
"Try not to speak, Pappy," I urged him. "We could get help. You can make it out okay."
"No. Let it end here. Tyler, don't push it. Don't go looking for payback,"
Pappy pleaded.
"Let those sleeping dogs lie in the dark where they belong. Promise me, boy."
His eyes begged me just as much as his words. The grief and shame of his vendetta overwhelmed him in his final moments. I took his hand off my shoulder and gripped it tight.
"I promise, Pappy."
A small smile formed on his face. He nodded his head.
"Good boy. You always were a good one."
His voice drifted off, and he took few final breaths until passing in my arms, still holding my hand until the very last second. The next few hours were a blur. Eventually, I found the strength to pull myself away from Pappy and called the cops. I don't know why I called them. I couldn't think of anyone else who might be able to help. What started as a couple of patrol cars led to a full-blown circus going miles down the road as word spread of the monster massacre. I was bulldozed with questions and remarks about the things, and could barely get a word in even if I wanted to. Eventually, men in black trucks and fancy suits pulled up. They had hazmat crews tag and bag the fallen Wendy's. I overheard radio chatter from them, talking in codes and lingo I could barely understand. A man with gray hair and a grin smile saddled up next to me at some point. I had just been sitting on the front steps, a blanket thrown half-heartedly across my back by some sympathetic cop. The man wore a black leather jacket and a black button-down. His clothes reeked of cigars and wine. The man sighed and reached into his pocket, bringing out a pack of Newports. He lightly tapped my shoulder and offered me one. I stared at him blankly, and he just nodded, whisking a cig from the pack and lighting it up.
"I didn't think you wanted one, lad. Hell, I barely tolerated myself nowadays. But today is a mournful one," the man said solemnly.
I studied him more closely, his thick Boston accent putting on a hell of a performance.
"You knew him, didn't you?"
I prodded. The man nodded.
"My father was closer to him, but I met him a few times. Joined him on a hunting trip once, shot a bear. He was a proud man, your grandfather. One of the best trackers I had ever known."
The man beamed, extending a hand.
"Call me Terry."
I took his hand and shook it, a million questions rattling in my brain. He must have sensed as much, so he went off.
"I'll take care of the funeral for the old man to start with. I owe him the last rites. As far as any sort of lingering feelings you may have about what happened here," he began, but I cut him off.
"He made me promise not to look for more of them, but there has to be. I heard dozens of those things out there."
I waved to the forest, illuminated by the array of flashing red and blue.
"I made a promise, but this all has to mean something. They took so much."
"Monsters like that, it's all they do. You're probably right. There are more of them out there, more than you could even comprehend,"
Terry replied ominously, but honestly.
"What happened today was a tragedy, Tyler. I am sorry."
I was silent once more. Terry took the time to take a long drag from his cigarette.
"I know what he wanted, but I can't shake that feeling that I have to do something, you know? Fight back."
I finally spoke up.
"You're talking about your brother,"
Terry replied.
"And my mother."
Terry was taken back by this, a crushing look in his eyes. He glanced away quickly.
"Didn't know that part. Robert never told me. She was a nice lass, your ma. You have her eyes,"
Terry said softly.
"So you get it then, why I have to do this."
I was eyeing the men in their black trucks as they loaded the bodies in. They all seemed to be quite calm, considering the number of slain beasts. I assumed they were feds, but now? Maybe they could help me find some closure.
"Don't be daft, laddie," I heard Terry speak up. "You think you want this because you're hurting, and I'm sorry, son, I truly am. But you don't want this. Trust me. You just don't."
He bitterly spat. I looked at him, this man who was at least 40 years old, but his eyes looked much older. I could see the streaks of silver and wet that spotted his once black hair, and the bags under his eyes seemed to carry the weight of eternity.
"What can I do then?"
I said, defeated.
"You want my advice, son? Go live. That's what your pappy would have wanted. Find yourself a nice girl and settle down and forget this nightmare. Honor him by enjoying the life he would have wanted for himself,"
Terry said, smacking my knee. I mulled over his words as he finished his smoke and got up. He offered a hand and a lift to the nearby motel he was staying at. After a final glance at the men in suits, I took his hand.
"That was a few years ago now. I know this is somewhat anticlimactic and even a sudden ending, but that's all there is to it. We had a funeral a few days afterwards, with Terry performing the service.
nice enough guy. I had dinner with him afterwards, and he told me stories about Pappy and his life in general. I haven't seen him since, but I do get Christmas cards. I know you want to hear that I went ahead and started hunting Wendy's anyway, or some creepy ending where I hear Pappy's voice calling from beyond my backyard. But no. I had my brush with evil, and frankly, that was enough for me. I took Pappy and Terry's advice to heart. I went back to the city, met someone, and went on with my life. Had our first kid a year ago. We named him Bobby, after the best damn grandfather I ever had.